And now begins secret underground internet-only transmission. Podcasting from the kitchen at Ditka's Restaurant in Chicago. This is another edition of Outside the Loop Radio, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Yes, here we are at the venerable Ditka's Restaurant for another edition of Outside the Loop Radio, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine. I'm Mike Steven.
And I'm Andy Herman.
And we are podcasting exclusively on OutsideTheLoopRadio.com because as of yet, nobody has put us on the radio. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. We are in the soundproof booth once again this week for show number 19.
Wow.
19 weeks we've been doing Outside the Loop now.
It only seems like 18.
I thought 18 was okay considering you were in New York.
I thought that went rather smoothly.
Via ISDN. Well, for this week, I'm just so excited because we are in Ditka's Restaurant over here in the, this is like what, the north, kind of north side. This is
kinda,
like
kind of River North.
River North-ish,
area.
North Shore. Exactly.
Yeah.
Just, I think we're just south of the Gold Coast here at Mike Ditka's Restaurant because, oh man. Oh boy, this is a big week.
You are a happy man.
Very big week because the Chicago Bears are in the Super Bowl, the NFC Conference Champions for the 2006 season. Chicago Bears are playing the Colts in the Super Bowl on Sunday.
And I've never seen you more excited.
Oh, I've got the scarf on. The
scarf?
Old stinky scarf.
The hat's over there in the corner.
The stocking cap's over there with the scarf with the burn mark. Remember the burn mark?
The burn mark from the
I sustained at Jenny's.
Oh, yes, the candles.
The scented candles because
yeah,
I was coming over.
You can't be trusted with fire.
Absolutely not. You know what's weird is Jenny likes fire.
Really?
Yeah, whenever we go out, I always pull matchbooks for her, off the bar.
Oh, I've seen her do that.
She just loves to light the matches and,
that makes
and
her
smell
more,
the sulfur.
That
yeah.
makes her more intriguing.
That's creepy. What are you talking about?
It's like fire starter.
Yeah, well, I always give her grief for it. Like, what? You're going to, you're lighting matches, looking at the flame, blowing it out and smelling the sulfur?
It smells good.
That can't be healthy. That's why she's dating me. Anyway, it's going right to her brain, out
hey,
of control.
Do you have your Bears underpants on?
I do have the Bears skivvies.
I didn't want to see them.
Here.
Oh, come on.
Isn't that
just
nice?
I was just asking.
Thanks for bringing that one up. Yes, this is a very exciting week. Anyway, so we're here at Ditka's, and we are in the kitchen. We have brought the soundproof booth into the kitchen. We have the porthole here, periscope up.
Up.
And we are looking out at the waiters flying by here.
Dude, and we came hungry.
Yeah, I am so hungry for some steaks.
And it smells so good here.
Oh.
Steaks, potatoes,
oh.
Salad.
Oh, my God. See, that's a Bears meal. That's hearty meal. Well, that's where we're podcasting the show from this week, Ditka's. And we've got lots of stuff to do on this week's program. Andy Herman, executive producer and co-host on Outside the Loop Radio. What's coming up later in the program?
Well, Michael Steven, we will be talking with Kathy Bergquist. She is the city editor of Not for Tourists. It is a guidebook, and the Chicago edition, the 2007 edition, came out a few months ago, and we'll be talking to her about it.
It's a really cool book, especially if you have lived in Chicago your whole life. Pick it up, you'll learn some really interesting facts about the city, about your hometown. But first, like I said, this is a big week here in Chicago for us Bears fans just abounding in the city. We are going to do a very special segment with one of the greatest Bears fans ever.
More than you?
This guy is absolutely diehard, just bleeds orange and blue. His name is Roy, and we'll talk to him about his very cool website, BearsHistory.com. You know, this is a very special, special time for me, my friend.
Mike Steven, the biggest Bears fan I've ever met in my life.
Yeah, you know, but I gotta say, I'm a pretty big Bears fan, but there are bigger Bears fans out there than I.
I don't believe you.
No, I'm serious. I have a jersey that's got my name on it. It's a Bears jersey. I've got right now. I'm wearing the Bears scarf.
You're wearing the Bears scarf inside.
The classic Bears scarf that I've had for 12 years. 12 years, and it really hasn't been washed a whole lot. I can't believe I just said that, but I'm a big Bears fan. Ever since I was young, my family, Bears fans. And the Bears, of course, are going to the Super Bowl on Sunday for Super Bowl 41. And they're playing the Colts, and I am beside myself, going out of my mind. And sometimes when I've got a moment during the day, sometimes I'll just Google Bears, Chicago Bears, Chicago Bears football, something like that, Chicago Bears trivia. I did that not too long ago, and this website popped up on my screen. This website called BearsHistory.com. And it's a really incredible website. I'm not kidding. Go right now. Open up your web browser. Go to BearsHistory.com, because this website is so thorough and so interesting. If you're a Bears fan, or if you're a fan of football in general, it's got the complete history of the Chicago Bears. It also has just some really neat pictures and trivia, and there's all kinds of things on BearsHistory.com. The owner of BearsHistory.com is Roy Taylor. He lives in the Chicagoland area, and he is a giant Bears fan, and I'm excited to have Roy here on the phone. Roy, welcome to Outside the Loop Radio.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys, and I have to say, you remember those days where people would make fun of you just for wearing anything that said Bears on it, let alone a scarf inside, so it's certainly nice to have it the other way around these days.
You're absolutely right. I remember the days when it was so difficult to be a Bears fan, because you had the Wannstedt days, and then of course the demise of Ditka, and then Dick Geron, but now we're on top, aren't we?
And the worst part of it was seeing more Green Bay Packers apparel being worn in Chicago than Bears apparel. So those people now, I'd like to know that.
You know, I don't get that, Roy. How is that? We live in a sports town, and Chicago has such a unique identity. How is it that I see a decent amount of Green Bay Packers gear here in the city?
Well, obviously they're coming to a real city to live and work, right?
See, I like that response. I like that response. Well, Roy, it's a pleasure to have you here on the show. BearsHistory.com. Tell me a little bit about how that came about.
Well, just like you, I grew up as a Bears fan since I was 8 years old, and that stuck with me, obviously. I came out with my undergraduate degree and wasn't very computer literate, but I went back and got a master's degree at Illinois Institute of Technology, and one of my classes was to design a website. Luckily, I learned how to do that good, and I had to pick a subject for it, and so obviously my first thought was to do something. When I first started going on the Internet, back like you talked about, I used to search for Bears. I'd think, boy, I'd like to see something written about Neil Anderson or Jim Harbaugh or some of these guys that people forget about, and I had the opportunity to do that myself, so it's been a labor of love and a lot of fun.
So what year did BearsHistory.com go online?
I put it together in 99 and 2000. It's been there long enough where, it's been, I guess, simmering and percolating for all these years that nobody really paid too much attention to the Bears, and it's just gone, my traffic has gone through the roof the last month, as you'd probably imagine.
Well, I absolutely can imagine. Now, Roy, this website, like I said, it is pretty detailed. There's a lot of stuff on there. There's a lot of information about the Chicago Bears. How did you go about getting all of this Chicago Bears information?
Well, that's a good question. Anybody, obviously, being a season ticket holder, I've been lucky to collect a lot of media guides, so that's my source of statistics, and you can find statistics from seasons in a lot of places. But one of the interesting things about my site is, obviously I wasn't alive even in the 60s or the 50s. I couldn't write a story about every season for the 87 years of Bears football, but what I did do, I went to my first game in 1979, and my first thought in putting my very first little bit of a site together in school was I wrote a little story about every season, and all of those stories you can click on from 1979 to 2005 and 2006, and there will be a story about each season, what happened, and all that's from my memory because I followed it so closely, and all that stuff stuck in my mind. Now, my wife might say that it'd be better if, like, geometry and chemistry stuck in my mind when I was in school, but, you know, we each have our talents, so that's how that happened.
Well, what are some of those stories? What's a story that jumps out in your mind when someone says, Roy, what's a really cool anecdote about a season that you experienced from the Chicago Bears?
Well, like I said, I remember things, and I'll give you 1997, for example. That's newer. That's not me remembering back from when I was a little kid. But on one of the sports radio stations in Chicago in 1977, I remember they had Eric Kramer on the air, and a couple of the hosts kind of bombarded him as to why he was smiling on the sidelines when the Bears were getting killed by the Detroit Lions, and there was a blow-up on the radio station. And that's not up there right now, but that's one of the next things. Actually, I haven't expanded on some of the really bad seasons. We'll save that for after the Bears win the Super Bowl, hopefully. But I'd like to put those little things up there that not everybody might remember, like Mike Ditka throwing gum at the woman in San Francisco in 1987. That's another example of something like that. These things, people go and visit, they'll say, oh, I remember that, you know, and I put it all together in one place. And there's also a section on the site called Chicago Bears Lore, and in that I just went out and I researched interesting subjects. I have articles up there about Walter Payton and Brian Piccolo. Brian Piccolo is one of the most highly visited pages on the site because there are so many people in the world Googling his name. There's also a story about the poor history of Chicago Bears quarterbacks, about Soldier Field, about the feud between Dick and Ryan. So there's a lot of information. You can spend a lot of time there.
You've talked to so many people about the Chicago Bears, and you are a fan yourself. You interact with fans. You go to games. Like you said, you're a season ticket holder. What is it about the Chicago Bears fans, that atmosphere in Soldier Field, the camaraderie between the Chicago Bears fans, what is it that makes it so special about being a Bears fan or going to a Bears game?
Boy, that's hard to put into words. You know, the one thing I'll say is, you know, they've been so loyal. I mean, the stadium wasn't as full back in the day when we weren't doing so well in the Wannstedt years, you might have mentioned before, in the Geron years. But, you know, there's always, I just feel this sense of civic pride. Now, I didn't even grow up in the city, but to me it's always been, you know, your sports allegiances should be an extension of your civic pride. I know there are people somehow that have grown up in a city and ended up following a different sports team. I don't know how that could possibly happen. But I can't even put into words how special Bears fans are. It's just, you know, it's great to hang out with them. And I've had the opportunity to travel around to different cities and you know, there are the diehard football towns. I can't give Green Bay too much of a hard time about this because they're diehard up there, obviously. Also, I'll give that to them. but there's just nothing quite like being on the lakefront, getting ready for a Bears game and hanging out with the real Bears fans.
Yeah, speaking of that, there really is nothing like tailgating, and it really is just an incredible experience. If you hear our voices right now and you have not gone tailgating at Soldier Field, you got to get out there next season because it is, you talk about camaraderie and just like a big family where everything is everyone's. It's the best time in the world.
And I just started tailgating hardcore in the last 7 or 8 years, but you're right, and I just can't think of a, you know, I've tailgated a lot of different cities also, and you know, as a comparison, we went to Cincinnati in 2001, and the parking lot didn't start to fill up until 10 a.m., and one of the places you tailgated was inside a parking garage, and contrast that to Soldier Field, where people are out there before 6 in the morning, and there's just not a better place that I have been to. I mean, perhaps Miami would have a good view, or San Francisco, I can imagine that, but just being on the lakefront, you know, on a beautiful day and cooking up some food and playing some games and talking football, there's nothing like it.
What do you think of the new renovated Soldier Field?
You know, personally, because I like a lot of other fans, had been in the old stadium. There was a point where I thought, you know, the old Soldier Field was just like Wrigley and we have to preserve it and it's a classic. But after so many years of, you know, walking around in urine and realizing that the view from the old stadium was just really terrible. As you went up in the stands, you also went back. Something just had to be done. And I understand the looks of it are very different, and it does trouble me that after Indianapolis opens their new stadium, the Bears will have the smallest stadium in the NFL when there's so many people dying to have tickets. Mm-hmm. But it's such an improvement over the old place. I just wish they would have built more men's room in the new one.
Yeah, and I know what you mean. Roy, are you going to Miami to Super Bowl 41?
That's the question of the week for anybody that visits me on the site, along with all my coworkers and friends and family. I've probably been asked the question 50 times because they can't imagine that I would possibly miss it. I've made every road trip I could, but unfortunately, the common guy like me has really been shut out of it. Nobody can say they can't get tickets because anybody can get tickets, but everybody has their price, and my price is barely face value, and that's not happening. And I guess I've just told myself that there are worse fates that could befall someone than having to watch your team in the Super Bowl with a bunch of friends and family on a big screen in your basement.
Yeah, you know, it's really unfortunate, and I've said this before to friends about the diehard fans really lose out here because there are so many people who would love to go see the Bears win the Super Bowl, but they just can't afford it because these tickets are so damn expensive.
Yeah, I mentioned to my wife last night watching some of the coverage at the NFL kickoff party, the big celebration they're throwing. I told her, you know, exactly. There's so many celebrities there that can afford to be there that could not care less about either team or maybe even football. And it's really sad that yes, the true fans can't be there, but that is the way it is.
Well, now, speaking of watching the Super Bowl this Sunday, Roy, if you go to bearshistory.com, you can actually take a virtual tour of your basement. And your basement, by the way, I at some point in my life, I'm coming over and I'm watching a Bears game because it is so insanely decorated with Bears stuff.
Yeah, I'd love to have you. This is another dream of mine. We were able to move into a house. I collected all this material when I had a house that I had no place to put it up. So when we found a place with an unfinished basement and an area to build a bar and hang everything on the walls, that was just a dream come true of mine. So yeah, it's everything I would want in a bar if I was going to go out and drink, except it's in my house, and that's pretty nice.
Yeah, that's right. Your commute is absolutely fantastic, huh?
Yes.
Well, Roy, what is your prediction? I've got to ask you this. You are the owner of BearsHistory.com, a Bears fan, a Bears aficionado. What is your prediction for Super Bowl 41?
You know, I don't think I've made a score prediction in my life on a Bears game or any other game. I try to stay out of that business. One thing I'll say is I think the Bears have as good a chance against the Colts, and that's hard to believe because the Colts have rolled the last few years through the first three quarters of the season. And there was a point in time this season that I would have thought Indianapolis would have been the last team I would have liked to see in the Super Bowl. But after Indianapolis's late season showing, and they did rebound in the playoffs, but I found myself thinking, boy, it'd be nice if we could get them if we get to the Super Bowl. So if the Bears, what I will say is if the Bears can get some points on the board and they're not playing from behind and they don't have to throw to win the game, I love their chances. If we go out and throw a bunch of interceptions and go down early, then it's going to be a tough night. But I really do like the Bears' chances, and of course, I hope we're going to do it.
Go to bearshistory.com right now. Roy Taylor is the owner of that website. Bearshistory.com will link up on our website. Roy, Super Bowl, Super Bears, keep the faith, and we will be celebrating a Vince Lombardi trophy here in Chicago.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, gentlemen. I appreciate your time.
Go Bears.
Go Bears.
Super Bowl 41 is upon us. Andy, what are you doing for the Super Bowl?
You know, I think I'm just going to sit at home with the wife, turn on the TV, and hang out. Maybe drink a couple beers.
As people are prone to do when watching the Super Bowl.
Yeah, enjoying an adult beverage. What are you doing, Mike?
That's, you know, as Roy talked about, that's kind of a difficult subject. Because I can't go to Miami. Obviously because, well, I'm poor. There's some things I've got. I can't even be in Chicago for the Super Bowl, and that pains me to say.
Are you in trouble?
No, I'm not in trouble.
Sounds like you're on the run.
Got to go on a business trip
And you have business?
Business, and it's not like, you know, white collar business. I'm far from white collar, trust me. I've got to be in Washington, D.C. I have to be in the nation's capital on Super Bowl Sunday.
So what are you going
to
do?
I don't know. I still have to go online and research good bars or good places to go.
Yes.
Watch the Super Bowl.
There's going to be plenty of bars there showing it. Won't have the same feel that you would have here.
I've waited 21 years, okay, for this Super Bowl Sunday coming up. And I've been in Chicago for every Super Bowl since then, except the one now where the Bears are going to the Super Bowl.
I feel for you. I really do.
Really,
and I could see the pain in your eyes.
And you know what was like the biggest tease ever is when a couple of weeks ago we were watching the NFC conference game, the Bears versus the Saints. And when it became obvious that the Bears were going to win that game, some of my friends came up to me and they said, "Hey, man, you know what? We've got some frequent flyer miles. Maybe we can like take the Super Bowl party to you in D.C. and meet you out there. Bring Chicago to you."
Wow.
But that turned out to be like a drunken thing that I emailed some friends. And my one friend in particular, she's like, "Yeah, well, I was, you know, I had a couple beers. I was feeling pretty happy. We can't come to Washington. We're going to watch it here." So I talk about a tease. That is like the worst tease you could possibly. Well, I guess there are other worst teases, but that was a pretty bad one. So, I'll be in Washington, D.C. And here's the other thing I'm wondering, because this is something I've noticed in Chicago, is that I know you're laughing at me, and I know that you know what I'm going to say. In Chicago, it seems there are so many bars that aren't necessarily, I don't know, they don't pertain to Chicago. Like, "Hey, man, we're a Wisconsin bar." Oh, "Hey, man, we're a Indiana bar."
There's lots of college teams.
Yeah, right.
Too.
It's like you go in, it's like, "Okay, I got it. I get the fact that you went to Michigan. We got it, okay?" But it's like, don't beat me over the head with it. Yeah, it's like all Michigan all the time. It's like Seeger and Nugent. Or if like you go to Wisconsin, it's like cheese and Green Bay. You know, what's University of Wisconsin? The Badgers. Have a Badgers beer.
Live in the now.
Well, what? Know? You're Chicago. Here. Are you still in college? What? And then you go in there. Those are the kind of bars you go in on the weekends, and it's the dudes bumping shit. It's like, "Yeah, bro, 1st and 10. Yeah, I got history homework. I'm 37. What are you talking about? You're a dumbass. What is happening? I want to go. I want to drink my beers. I don't want to be chest bumped by Brosif over there. I don't, you know, by Johnny College guy who's picking up chicks at the bar and going to the frat house. That's a good idea. You know, but I wonder if Washington has that. I wonder if Washington has, like, a University of Chicago bar. Did you see? Yeah, we went to U of C. We worked on the Manhattan Project at my school. Have a Rob Roy. You know, I don't know. I want a Chicago-ish bar, but I don't want that.
But you're going to be there with Chicago people.
Some Chicago people,
yes. You can find a bar and raise some hell.
That's the plan.
Is that the plan?
That is the plan. So I'm going to see, when I'm out in Washington, coming up in a few days, I'm going to see what stuff I can find, of course, for Outside the Loop Radio. Because that's my primary focus. I lose sleep over Outside the Loop Radio.
Screw the business trip.
No. Yeah.
You're going out there for material.
I need content. I need show content. Anyway, well, that's what I'm doing for the Super Bowl.
I love it when you get angry.
Was I just talking for like a couple minutes straight?
That was a serious monologue.
Hold on, I've got to take a breath. I have not.
Your face is all red.
Breathed in a couple minutes.
Your hair's flying up in the air. I don't know what's going on.
I need let's fire up some music and you give me CPR or whatever it is that you do. Get the OTL oxygen tank. Is that in the soundproof booth? Do we have that here at Ditka's? Can we get that out? So much to do, obviously, in a city like Chicago. Bars, restaurants, attractions.
And bars.
Did you what bars? What? Did we say bars?
And also bars.
We might have mentioned a bar or two. And the thing about Chicago that's really interesting is that there are so many different neighborhoods that make up this city. And each neighborhood has its own unique flavor, its own character. Yet everyone is still a Chicagoan. And I think that's one of the really cool things about this city. All these different areas, all these different neighborhoods, and really from neighborhood to neighborhood, you can get a different flavor for Chicago. One book that is really an essential companion to any Chicagoan when he or she might go out and about exploring Chicago and seeing what's outside his or her own neighborhood, it's a book, and it's also a website. It's called Not For Tourists, and the website is notfortourists.com, and the book that I have here in my hands is The Not For Tourists Guide to Chicago, and it's really interesting. There are a lot of maps and listings and stuff, and it gives a lot of great information, too, a lot of detailed stuff, which is great even if you are if you're a lifelong Chicagoan. You might even find out some stuff that you didn't know before when you pick up this book. The city editor of Not For Tourists Guide to Chicago is Kathy Bergquist, and Kathy is on the phone with us right now. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, Andy, Mike.
Kathy, I got to ask you, how did you, you're the city editor for Not For Tourists, but how did you get involved with this whole thing?
Well, believe it or not, they started in New York a couple of years before they did the Chicago Guide. The next two cities they did after New York, which is where they're based, were Chicago and Los Angeles. And they posted an ad in the Reader looking for contributors, and I met with Rob Talia, who is the managing editor of the whole Not For Tourists publishing company. And for the first year that they did it, I was actually a neighborhood editor for East Lakeview, Avondale, maybe three or four other neighborhoods, Streeterville. And the editor that year didn't stay on, and they offered me the position after that to be the city editor, and I've been with Not For Tourists ever since.
Well, this book, and I kind of mentioned what it is a little bit, but it is a companion to just a Chicagoan's life in the city. It has really detailed explanations of every neighborhood, and like you said, different people work on different neighborhoods. But in your own words, how would you describe exactly what this book is all about?
Well, I would say that it is a somewhat sassy and in-the-know, on-the-ground guide to every neighborhood in the city of Chicago. And what you said about even if you've always lived in Chicago, I mean, that's kind of who the book's written for. Of course, it's also extremely useful for people who come here regularly from the suburbs or business travelers or just moving here. But even myself, I've lived in Chicago for about 18 years, and the first couple editions, the insights that neighborhood editors had into neighborhoods that I didn't dwell in that often made me really interested in the prospect of urban exploration and getting to know the city even better.
Well, how did you do it? How did you go about, you know, or how do the contributors go about exploring these neighborhoods? Because really, I mean, you have pages in here. Like, for example, I'm looking at the entry for Westtown here, and it gives a really detailed map of the Westtown area. Most people don't even know where Westtown is, by the way. But it gives the borders of exactly where Westtown is in relation to the rest of the city. And it has listings of schools, banks, car washes, gas stations, libraries, pizza joints, bars, I mean, liquor stores, shopping, restaurants. The whole thing just goes on and on. How does one really explore properly for the Not For Tourists Guide different parts of the city?
Well, part of what's important, part of what's behind the whole thing with all the NFT guides is that we get as many contributors from different, as wide a geographical region as possible. And sometimes that's tricky. I'll say we have, every year we have 45 people in Ravenswood or Lincoln Square or Andersonville who want to be neighborhood contributors. But it's more challenging to find people who can write with real authority and from an insider's point of view from some of the further reaching neighborhoods in Chicago. But it's so important to me that they're represented accurately. So you really have to have people who are on the ground, who are, obviously we don't include every single restaurant in the city of Chicago. We don't include every single gas station in the city of Chicago. But the ones that people who live in that neighborhood think are the most important ones that you need to know in that neighborhood.
And that's got to be such an education for someone who contributes to not for tourist guide. And yourself, when you go outside of your own comfort zone, your own neighborhood, was that an education, or has this been really an education for you working on this project?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll have to say, the first edition of the guidebook, which I believe was 2002, only went to a certain geographical boundary. And part of that was what was considered by the people in New York, which is why I think it's so important to have somebody in Chicago on board in a major administrative position for this. I mean, otherwise it would be stupid to call it the Not for Tourist Guide, you know, if it was all run out of New York. But they only covered the city as far west as about Kedzie, as far south as the South Shore neighborhood, and then all the way up to Rogers Park. And I felt really strongly that although those neighborhoods do, I would say that those more centrally located neighborhoods that are closer to the lake and closer to the crux of the highway system where it meets and the closest to the L and the public transportation lines are generally what you would call the destination neighborhoods of Chicago that have the bulk of the nightlife and restaurants and things like that. The fact is that we're a much, much, much bigger city than that, and you can't say that there aren't interesting and fascinating local cultural things, local landmarks, to every part of the city border, from Hedgewitch to Edison Park and vice versa, from Midway to East Rogers Park and so on.
Yeah, that's one of the things I think about the city is that to really explore, especially Chicago, it takes a little bit of motivation. You got to get up. You got to get out of your house. You got to go to somewhere you haven't been. Sure, we've all been to the Lincoln Park area. We've been to Wrigleyville, Lakeview, that whole thing, and everyone's done that. But go to the Albany Park. Go to Logan Square. You know, go to the Northwest Side or go south in Hyde Park and check out what's really there. And I think this book is really sort of encouraging of doing just that.
Now, this edition has been out for a few months now. After it's published, how soon do you start finding things that aren't open anymore?
Oh, immediately. And of course, it drives any editor for any annual publication completely crazy. I'd have to say that it's to the credit of the New York office that they happen to find somebody who is as persnickety, perfectionist, and anal retentive as I am. because I will go through line by line and do a complete line edit of the entire book every year. And then there are things that I find right away that I missed, or typos or other things that just kill me, and they eat away at my very soul until we start working on the next edition.
But that's probably where the website comes in, too. Do you keep running updates on your website there at notfortourists.com?
We're working on making the website more and more comprehensive, but what it is right now and how the timeliness of it works right now in the best way, you can access the whole book or every map PDF on the website, which is great, because if you don't have the actual hard copy of the book, and say, now one of the benefits of the book is anywhere you're going in the city, you can look in the back and find the address, the street address of where you're going, immediately cross-reference it on the map and have a bird's eye view of everything that's around there. So if you're going to a friend's house in a neighborhood that you don't know very well, you can look up the address and immediately know where is a liquor store where you can pick up a bottle of wine, where there's an ATM where you can get the cash you need to pick up that bottle of wine, you know, whatever, for any single neighborhood in the city. So that is all available on the website. But also the website has the fun part of being able to have regular radars and notes and things that seem of interest that are more timely. For example, sometimes one feature of the website is that they will have contributors who post about just interesting things that they stumbled across through the course of their daily life in Chicago that they think people will be interested in. And sometimes that could be a place that's off the beaten path or unusual or a local treasure. And sometimes it could be calendar-related, some event of interest that's coming up that we really want to spotlight.
Kathy, we mentioned the contributors for this book, but who are the people that contributed? Where did you find people that would contribute to these write-ups and these listings for these different areas of Chicago?
Mostly dark caves, dripping railroad underpasses.
It sounds about right.
Corner, you know, the worst corner taverns you could possibly imagine.
See, that's what I'm talking about right there.
Actually, it's a real mix. They do every year. We will be doing this for anybody who's listening and thinks that they are interested. You can always post on our website, any feedback or comments that you have. And I have to say that we really rely on those, because even though I try to be as thorough as I can, I'm the only city editor of this book. We work with maybe somewhere between 10 and 20 neighborhood editors every year, and people who take on certain sections that they have expertise in. But we really rely on people's comments about things in their neighborhood that they feel are overlooked or that have changed. And anybody who fills out a feedback form on the website who seems like they have a certain level of authority behind their knowledge, there's a good chance that they may be contacted to be considered to be a neighborhood editor or to write about something that they... It's very democratic in a way. They also post on Craigslist and ask people to submit writing samples. You know, we ask that you have a copy of the book. And I have a lot of friends who live all over the city, and I lean on them too.
Well, go to notfortourists.com right now. Check out that website. It is really cool. Kathy Bergquist is the city editor for the Not For Tourists Guide to Chicago. Kathy, thanks for joining us. And this book is like my new Bible.
Oh, well, I'm so glad that you like it.
Kathy, thanks for joining us.
It was a real pleasure. Thanks for talking to me.
Interesting stuff from the people at the Not For Tourists Guide to Chicago. Very cool. This has been another edition of Outside the Loop Radio, show number 19 under our belts, and we're happy to be here every Thursday. We come out with a brand new show, so check back to OutsideTheLoopRadio.com, and we'll bring you more stuff happening around Chicago and stuff you might not know about and all kinds of good things here on OTL. I'm Mike Steven.
And I'm Andy Herman.
And we've been, where are we? Oh yeah, we're at Ditka's. We're in a giant kitchen at Ditka's.
Come on, put the periscope back up.
Scope up! Looking around.
Dude, look at that steak.
That is a juicy steak here at Ditka's. We take the soundproof booth around every week to different locations, and this week we're in the kitchen at Ditka's, and it looks oh so good. Copyright 2007.
Albert James Productions.
And we'll be back again next week for another edition of Outside the Loop Radio, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine. And be sure to check back here every week. Email us at
info@outsidetheloopradio.com.
Did we say copyright 2007?
We certainly did.
All right, well, I like to say it again. Copyright.
You got Bears on the mind, don't you?
Super Bowl, Super Bears.
Is this Bears underpants too tight?
Hold on. Yep. Yeah.